next speaker is Michael.
So today I'd like to talk to you about some of the work we've been doing to try to understand the molecular mechanisms associated with cold hardiness, dormancy, and growth using apple transgenic plants. So if we look at seasonal changes in freezing tolerance, you can see that they have a bell-shaped curve, and depending on what type of genotype or species that you're looking at, these curves can vary considerably in terms of the rate in which they acclimate, how long they'll stay acclimated, and then also how fast and to what level they de-acclimate. So there's a lot of genetic variation that can be tapped into and exploited. But in addition to freezing tolerance, you can superimpose these types of cycles on other biological processes as well, such as dormancy cycles, growth cycles, and also flower development. And so what we're really interested in knowing is how these various processes overlap and how the regulation of them overlap. How does the regulation of freezing tolerance, how does that impact dormancy? How does dormancy impact freezing tolerance? How do both of these impact growth and flowering? So in the past 20 years, one of the major discoveries was the role of what they call a CBF, a cold binding factor, a transcription factor, and its role in being able to induce, among other things, a level of cold acclimation in plants. So the plant senses low temperature. It activates the CBF transcription factor, and there are a number of them in each species. That produces a CBF protein. That CBF protein binds to a specific motif on the promoters of other genes, which then turn on a whole suite of other genes that are associated with increases in cold hardiness. So you wind up with increased freezing tolerance. So what we did was we took a CBF gene from peach, and we overexpressed it in M26 apple and tried to look at the impact on freezing tolerance. And indeed, we did see when it was overexpressed, we did see an increase in freezing tolerance in both a non-acclimated state, and these are freezing tolerance as determined by electrolyte leakage, and it is leaf material. But we saw an increase in freezing tolerance in non-acclimated plants and also in acclimated plants as well. Of course, the range of the acclimation is different in the non-acclimated versus the acclimated. But what was surprising to us was that we also saw a short day response, and that's not typical for apple because apple typical is not responsive to short days in terms of entering dormancy and stopping growth. But when we put these things under short days, here is 4 weeks of short days on the wild type, and this is 4 weeks of short days with the transgenic plant. So it had already stopped growing and set bud on it. And of course, both the wild type and the transgenic will respond to low temperature and stop growth. So we were really surprised by that. So we grew up a bunch of these, propagated a bunch of these plants and put them out in the field. This was back in 2010. It was a fall planting, October 7th. Within a week, we saw a dramatic response of the transgenic plants. You can see that the leaves started developing a lot of anthocyanins, and whereas the non-transformed stayed nice and green. This is just a close-up of that. Then this was October 22nd, so about 14 days after planting, 2 weeks after planting. And by November, all the leaves had abscised on the transgenic, whereas the wild types still had nice, healthy-looking green leaves. If we go into the spring, then we also saw, which was, again, unexpected, was a delay in bud break. So here's the untransformed M26 and our transgenic. You can see on April 21, we're starting to get terminal bud break. Nothing on the T166. It's starting to flush out, still no growth. It wasn't until May that we finally started seeing, early May, that we started seeing some flush and break on the transgenic line. So we're seeing both an early set in dormancy, increased cold acclimation, and a delay in bud break in the spring. We looked at the freezing tolerance in the field in the summertime. Again, this was with leaf material because we had very little material to work with, so we couldn't be cutting up and measuring a lot of stem material. But there was an increase in cold acclimation and non-acclimated leaves in the transgenic line. However, the other thing that we also saw was that there was suppressed growth, so that the transgenic trees had reduced, increased dwarfing over and above what you would expect from the growth habit of M26. So we had a reduction in the caliper, we had a reduction in overall height, and we had a reduction in current year shoot growth in these plants. So we're seeing a series of effects from overexpressing this CBF gene. So we decide, okay, well, what's the mechanism behind that? So we then began to look at the expression. Rather than just doing a straight transcriptomic study and looking at thousands of genes, we began to look at some of the genes that have been associated with some of these traits. We looked at RGL genes or Della proteins, which have been associated with suppressing growth. DAM genes or dormancy-associated MADBOX genes, which I think you'll be hearing more about in the next talk, which have been associated with the regulation of dormancy. And then one of the new genes on the block was a gene called EBB, an early bud break gene that was reported to regulate bud break in poplar. So we looked at the expression of these genes over a period of time in these transgenic and non-transgenic plants. There are numbers of these RGL or Della genes in apple, and some of them seem to be affected and some of them didn't. The two that I'd like to draw highlight are the ones with the stars. If we ignore the black line, which is not related to the transgenics at all, we see the red line, which is the transgenic, and the blue line, which is the wild type M26. And you can see there's an elevated level of expression of this RGL3A just around the time when you're starting to get growth to slow down in these apple trees. And the same thing was true for this RGL1B, a much higher level in the transgenic than you saw in the wild type. In terms of the dormancy-associated MADBOX genes, now this, we looked at both buds and xylem tissues, and I think that's something that it's subject for a different talk, but we should remember that breaking dormancy is not only a bud break, but it's also the vascular cambium that has to be able to break and produce a new xylem tissue and conducting elements as well. Again, there are several DAM genes in apple. The two that seem to be markedly affected in terms of their expression right around the time of bud break was this what we're calling DAM1, and you can see the sawtooth pattern of alternating high and regular expression levels, and right around bud break time, or just prior to bud break, and then also this DAM3, which also had a peak in expression just around bud break time. In terms of the early bud break gene, what we saw that in the wild type, you needed lower levels of expression, and with the EBB gene, you need increased expression in order to break the bud. we saw that You need lower levels of this EBB gene to be expressed in order to begin to see a bud break in the non-transgenic plants. At this point in time, bud break was 45% and the EBB had already peaked and started coming down. You can see in the transgenic, it was later, and even at very high levels of expression, we still had 0% bud break. So what we saw was that there was an alteration. A CBF altered the expression of these RGL genes. It also altered the expression of both these DAM genes and EBB genes in the buds. And so the question is, well, how is the interaction between these genes regulated? So what we started doing is looking at the promoters of these various genes and looking at the various motifs that are associated in those promoters. And as you can see, this is just from the Apple DAM genes. These are indicating various types of motifs in the promoter region that are impacted and will turn these genes on. And they range from MIB factors to C-repeat factors, circadian factors, light-regulated, ABA-related factors. So there's a whole suite of them. But if you just focus on the C-repeats, which are the region that the CBF transcription factor protein binds to, you see that all these genes have these C-repeats in them. So you can see these C-repeats in the DELA genes, you can see them in the DAM genes, and you can also see it in the EBB gene in Apple. So that led us to developing our model that we're working with in how CBF might interact with these various processes to regulate them, where you have the overexpression of CBF leads to the induced expression of cold-regulated genes or core genes. You have the increase in freezing tolerance. CBF is known to interfere with the production of GA precursors, which negate DELA genes, and it also elevates the expression of GA2 oxidase, which breaks down these GA precursors. And that allows DELA genes to, expression to be elevated and the DELA proteins to be elevated, which then would lead to suppressed growth and perhaps modifying flowering, which I'll talk about in a second. And then also through those C-repeats in the promoter of the DAM and EBB genes, you have a situation where it can partially regulate the expression of both those dormancy associated gene products. So the question that we wanted to answer was, well, this was a rootstock, and one of the reasons we used the rootstock was because, first of all, M26 is easier to transform than some of the cyan varieties, but also was the idea that if you could have a rootstock, then you could use many different cyans grafted onto that, and if you did, would it impact and delay a bud break in the spring and avoid those spring kills from late frosts? or more correctly, as we're getting normal temperatures, but we're getting early bud break, and so you're getting susceptible tissues at a time when you really shouldn't be around. But unfortunately, what we saw was that there was no impact. So we did reciprocal grafting. We put T166 on Royal Gala, and then M26 on Royal Gala, and T166 and M26 plants out there. What we didn't see was any impact either on bud break. Here's the transgenic T166. Here's the other reciprocal plants where we have Royal Gala on M26, and Royal Gala is on a transgenic M26 and a non-transgenic. So we didn't see any effect on bud break. Unfortunately, we didn't see any increase in freezing tolerance either. This is the freezing tolerance of the 166, and this is the reciprocal grafts out there. What we did see was still suppress growth over and above what you usually get from M26. So this is Royal Gala on M26. This is Royal Gala on the transgenic M26. And the same thing here, and you can see the reduction in size. And also we saw a delay in flowering. So if you had the Royal Gala on a non-transgenic M26, you can see it's 100% of the trees with clusters on it. Average number of bloom clusters per tree was 10. For the transgenic one, was much lower. And then the following year, it was still suppressed, even though the number of trees with flowers on it had increased, but the number per tree was still very low. Excuse me. So where are we going from there? We have some stem graft studies going on. So rather than just using these scions on top of rootstocks, we're actually doing some stem grafts, and everything seems to still be staying true to type. So that if we see the 166 on grafted onto Royal Gala, it's not breaking bud, whereas the rest of the tree starts breaking bud. If we put Royal Gala on a 166 plant, it breaks bud. But the rest of the tree doesn't. And the same kind of relationship happens in the fall. The whatever you're grafting seems to stay true to type. It's not influenced by what you're grafting onto. What else are we doing? We're creating numerous lines of apples overexpressing either native or foreign early bud break genes to see how that's impacted. We're also doing promoter deletions in order to understand what portion of those promoters are activated by different inputs like short days or low temperature, whatever it might be. And then I would refer you to a poster, 373, where we've introduced about 10,000 Malus traversii genes into Arabidopsis, and we're creating, using this fox hunting system, and we're trying to identify novel stress tolerance genes using that system. Just as a way of thanking some of the people that were involved in the work over the several years, especially my colleague Jay Norelli and Tim Artlip, who has worked with me for many years. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you. Well, we don't know that yet in terms of the stem grafts, in fact. But when we just grafted it onto one non-transgenic rootstock, so we grafted the transgenic M26 onto a non-transgenic M20, we did not see any impact. You know, I mean, why we didn't see the response in the reciprocal grafting was, and why we went to the stem graft was because obviously when we're using the transgenic rootstocks, we're not getting any leaf material, and leaves are the perception of day length, so that's why we're doing the stem grafts right now. We did seasonal expression patterns on the tissue, and we were particularly focusing on the period of time at which these things would play a role. So I'm sure that we have done it, but if there was nothing remarkable to gain from that information.
So the overexpression
Yeah, that definitely is something that we should be checking. And as I said before, some of those promoters do have ABA responsive elements in them as well. But yeah, ABA is. We never checked any of the hormone levels. We have very few of these trees, so trying to do destructive sampling on this stuff, we have a little hard. Again, we have not really looked at the root phenotype. We grow these plants and we put them out in the field, but we have not examined the root systems. It very well may be that we just get suppressed growth of the rootstocks, and that's why the trees are smaller. It's very possible.